I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Election Day is 3 weeks from yesterday. You're planning to vote, right? I hope so, and if you do, bring a friend. In the last midterm election, nationwide, fewer than 40% of eligible voters actually voted. Will things be different this time around? Today, a conversation about efforts to increase voter turnout. Nakedra Robinson is the founder of Black Girls Vote. Sam Novy is the co-founder of Baltimore Votes. Catalina Bird is working with incarcerated voters. Lyle Learman is the CEO of a nonpartisan Get Out the Vote organization called When We All Vote, founded by Michelle Obama. They are all working to get more people engaged in the political process, and they join me when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for hanging with us today. Today we're going to have a conversation about voting, or perhaps more specifically, not voting. In 2016, only about 58% of eligible voters in this country actually voted. That means around 74 million people who could have voted didn't. And as for voting in midterm elections, forget about it. In the last midterm election, 2014, only 36% of eligible voters went to the polls. That was the lowest participation rate since 1942. And in Baltimore City, the number was even lower. So what can be done to encourage people to exercise this most cherished and fundamental right in a democracy? Well, making voting easier, for one thing. In several states, Republican legislatures have moved to restrict voting in the name of eliminating voter fraud. Some states have tightened ID requirements and purged voter rolls of thousands of people. They've also limited the number of days of early voting and, in some cases, reduced the number of polling places. That's not the case here in Maryland. Early voting here begins next Thursday, October 25th, and it continues for 8 days. And heads up, even if you're not registered as of today, you can register to vote at an early voting location and then vote that same day. So joining us a little later in the program, we'll be talking to the CEO of When We All Vote, an organization that was the brainchild of Michelle Obama, about national efforts to bring more people to the polls on or before Election Day, November 6th. But first, I'm happy to welcome three local activists who are spearheading efforts to increase voter engagement here in our state. Nakedra Robinson is the founder of Black Girls Vote, based here in Baltimore. Nike, good to see you.
Great to see you, Tom.
Sam Novy is a co-founder of Hashtag Baltimore Votes, which works with community groups to increase voter turnout, with a particular focus on the newly eligible 18-year-old. Sam, good to meet you.
Great to meet you, Tom.
And Catalina Bird, she's a media consultant and political strategist here in Baltimore who has been working in Maryland jails to be sure that eligible voters there have access to the ballot. Welcome back, Kat.
Hey, Tom.
So we'd love to hear your ideas about how to get more people participating in the political process. Do you vote regularly? And what do you think it will take to get others to vote regularly, too? Have you skipped voting in recent years? Well, what will it take to get you back into the process? You can join us at 410-662-8780, our email midday at WIPR.org. You can catch us on Twitter at Midday WIPR. You can follow me on Twitter at Tom Hall WIPR, and you can catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. So, Nike, let me start with you and tell me a little bit about what Black Girls Vote is doing for this election cycle to get more folks involved.
Sure, Tom. First, thank you again for having us on the show. So Black Girls Vote, we're really about getting folks engaged, educated, and empowered. So over the last year, we've been out registering voters. As we know, yesterday was the last day for voter registration in Maryland. We had women on campus at Morgan State University, even in different locations, registering voters the last day. We have our first collegiate chapter of Black Girls Vote at Morgan State University. And 3 weeks ago, we inducted 41 young women into that chapter. And what they're doing, they're out on the ground, they're educating people on voting. And on October 25th, the first day of early voting, we're doing a big mobilization effort from Morgan State University where we're going to do a demonstration to the polls. So we're expecting hundreds of students to come out. As you know, the League of Disabilities is there on Cold Spring Avenue. And there with President Wilson, Tumblr is going to be one of our sponsors. The three of us will be there as a rally saying, hey, get out to vote. So we're going to mobilize people to the vote, to the polls on that day.
And when you're talking to folks, are you hearing similar stories from folks when they say, oh, I don't vote, I haven't voted before. I
mean, my vote doesn't count. We hear it all. But that's when we have to let them know that, you know, policy matters and that we put people in position every single day. Local politics matter. They're making decisions on behalf of you and your family. So we say in Black Girls Vote, you have to meet them where they are and you have to talk about something relatable to them, whether it's incarceration, something that Kat works on every day. Folks don't know as ex-offenders that they can vote. So letting them know that your vote matters and that you are a powerful voting block, especially our 18 to 25 year olds. And that's who we really focus on with Black Girls Vote. So we have to make it personable to them and then ask them what's hurting you, what's bothering you, and tie that into policy and knowing how that can change with a voting block. Mm-hmm. And then that changes their mindset.
And Sam Novy, with Baltimore Votes, you also have a particular interest in the younger voters, those folks who've just turned eligible at age 18. And you're throwing some parties in the process, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so, Baltimore Votes is a nonpartisan group of leaders from all across Baltimore who are committed to making sure that every single Baltimorean is included in every single election. It's leaders from schools and churches and neighborhood associations, organizations like Black Girls Vote and the work Catalina's doing. And we provide those leaders with support around everything they need in order to ensure that everyone in Baltimore can vote. And so the first campaign that our advisory board kicked off this year was about parties at the polls, which is a really exciting tactic. It's getting really hot all around the country because it increases voter participation for the entire precinct where you have the party by 5%, right? So this is among the most effective things we've ever found to do around elections. And it's really simple. Folks flyer the neighborhood beforehand, send some DJs, provide some food, and just make the whole polling place feel welcome. Because, you know, a lot of what we're hearing when people say, you know, I don't know if it matters, I don't, know if I want to vote, what they're really saying is, like, I don't feel welcome at the polling place. I don't feel like this is a place where people like me go, and that's wrong. Like, if you're a voter in this country, you should feel welcome at your polling place. You should feel excited. You should feel like you belong in the process, and that's what these parties are doing. And I'm super excited to say that 65 local leaders in Baltimore have committed to throwing a party already, and we're pushing for 100 by the end of the week. So
let me ask you an old fogey question. As a guy who's been voting since the 1970s, what's the deal with not feeling welcome at the polls? I'm not sure I've ever had that experience, and is that just because... I don't know. What is that for? I mean, what does feeling welcome at a polling place mean? I mean, everybody's eligible and encouraged to vote. What does it take to feel welcome in that particular space?
Sure. So, you know, we've done a lot of research with our company around, what are the psychological barriers to voting? And, one thing that we hear a lot is that people feel that there's some sort of magic group of, fully informed people who know everything about all the candidates and that only those political people should vote and they shouldn't vote. And they don't see the text of their own lives, the story that they experience living in America, living in Baltimore City and all our different neighborhoods with all the different experiences. They don't see that experience as being all the information that you need to have a voice in the process and be heard. So I think we need to, too often we communicate that voting is for some other group of people. It's not for everyone. And what these parties are doing that's so powerful and what's needed, not just on election day, but every day in the city, is to communicate that every single person is welcome, every single person matters, and that's why it's so exciting that local leaders in East, West, North, South, all different neighborhoods in the city are stepping up to make that statement in their neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, I hear that. I was in a restaurant the other night, and there was a guy in his mid-20s, a white guy in the wait staff there, and I asked him, are you voting? He said, no. And I said, why not? He said, well, I'm afraid I'd make the wrong choice. You know, so speaking of fully informed, Catalina Byrd, there's nobody who's more fully informed than you. But that does seem to be a barrier, at least to some people, to this young man. He was saying, I just don't know. I don't know who to vote for. He was like, it was like a test that he was going to get the answer wrong to. Do you hear that too?
Those kind of voters and young people are easier to mobilize and convert because they understand the brevity of their vote. So when I first went into this professionally, it was because historically 18 to 35 year olds don't vote. And I wanted to engage the millennial population. And I had a radio show at another station and I partnered with the Hip Hop Caucus and I put elected officials on with rappers. And I think that, to Sam's point, it's not so much about being welcome as being incentivized to pay attention and getting through the barrier of even getting someone's attention and then holding it long enough to be able to teach them something that empowers and mobilizes them. And so when we would put 2 Chainz on the radio, then it overlapped that with, Comptroller Franchot so many years ago, it brought a different conversation and you had people listening to elected officials in a different context. But most of the reason that 18 to 35 is not engaged is that you don't do any of the stuff in life that is impacted by policy, right? You typically don't start buying a house until somewhere around 30, 35, and that's when property tax becomes an issue. We were talking with your producer before we got back here, Kathleen, about messaging. Well, if all your messaging is up here with people who about property taxes and things that do not apply to your life at 21 years old, you're not talking to that person, so why would they be listening? And that's what makes the engagement that they're doing on this level so, so important, because it was hard to get on college campuses 18 years ago and 15 years ago for anything, nonprofit or for a candidate, to recruit young people to be involved if you didn't have an in through a sorority or a fraternity or a particular professor. Mm-hmm. And so the barriers that they've gotten through are going to have lasting implications long after they are millennials anymore. And I'd like to point out also, all three of us are left-handed, so we might be the most brilliant panel that you've ever
had.
I was just noticing, like,
well,
oh, wow.
Well, I'm bringing the IQ level down a notch as the right-handed guy at the table. But briefly, Kat, recently you've been working specifically in jails with incarcerated folks who are eligible to vote, as well as recently incarcerated.
Just in the last 72 hours through a partnership, because I don't want to take credit for that. Out for Justice works with returning citizens day in and day out since their inception in 2015 under the leadership of Nicole Mundell. And Nicole had an opportunity presented to her, and she had a vision. And so I first initially helped train the members to sit in front of parole and probation sites, like on Preston Street and Gay Street and Mount Hope Drive and all the other places where parole and probation are, and let them know, even though you're on parole and probation, do you have the right to vote? And I said, well, since they can vote by absentee ballot behind the walls, why aren't we going in there too? And Nicole was like, I would love to get behind the walls, but I don't. So, I mean, just through proximity of some relationships that I've maintained, because I don't care anybody's political affiliation or when we agree or don't agree. I'm not one of those people that, like, deletes you and blocks you in election years because I don't like who you're supporting. The hysteria of election season is part of what's killing humanity. But I made some calls, and we got into central booking on Monday and Tuesday. The warden is actually who is the real hero in this story, in that he just got here, Warden Diablo, in January from Philadelphia, where they do this, where they allow organizations to come behind the walls. And he just wasn't aware, wasn't something that was being done here, and literally gave us the keys to the kingdom. We had direct access. We were able to go after he's gone at 5 o'clock. We were there until 8:15 last night because the deadline to take those registration forms in was 9 p.m. and we needed to make sure we got back
at
to the
Board
of
Elections. Right.
Mm-hmm. But we weren't that far away. You know, 300 East Madison is all of maybe 3 minutes from Fayette Street. So we took it to the wire, and the our escorts, the COs who had to take us to each tier for our own safety, obviously, were very excited to help us and making sure, because we couldn't take our phones in, that we were clear on the time. And did you get on this? Did you get to this side? And did you get to talk to these guys? And did you get to talk to these women? And the looks on their faces just to know that you didn't lose all your rights because of a poor choice or a decision, mm-hmm. perhaps, that you made that ended you up inside the walls, and how dehumanizing inside those walls can be. This was something inspirational for a lot of them, and it was really touching to be able to partner with Nicole and Out for Justice on that and be able to help make that happen.
And Nike, are the young people you're talking to on the campus of Morgan and around town, are they engaged with particular issues? I mean, Kat mentioned, I think, a really good point. Like, if you're not a homeowner, maybe you don't care so much about the property tax rate in Baltimore City, but do you care about Justice Kavanaugh being confirmed on the Supreme Court? Or do you care about the fate of the Affordable Care Act? Or do you care about even foreign policy?
No, absolutely. And just to piggyback on what Kat says, that's amazing work that they did yesterday and work that they're continuing to do, and the work that Ian and Sam are doing. And it takes, as I said earlier, meeting folks where they are and speaking to the issues that directly impact them. And that's when you're getting them to listen. As we talk about the HBCU funding, you know, at Morgan State University, you know, that's a big issue. So those students, you know, I forget the number exact, but there are a lot of students there who may have to drop out of school because financial aid, they don't have the funding and they need funding. So when we talk about those issues and looking at our state policies and things that we can attract funding here for your schools that matters to them. Even though they don't own homes, they see every single day their parents are struggling, right? So even though those issues may not impact them directly, they see the impact of their family struggling and what can they do to help their families. We're working with Towson State University as well, where we're going to do a CAF takeover at Towson University on the first day of early voting as well. And so we're talking to different demographics about, hey, this millennial vote, this 18 to 25, you all are the sleeping giant, and particularly Black women and Black girls. As I say, we are the most loyal voting bloc, but we have to talk about who's committing policies to us so that we can get out there and make demands in exchange for our policies. So as Kat said, you know, being in the jails, even though when we look at what's happening in Baltimore City, the crime, the murders, those are Black men who are mainly getting killed. Those are our sons. Those are our brothers, our husbands. So these are policies that impact us, and they're hurting. So we have to meet them where they are. So it does matter to them. They care about the Judge Kavanaugh, but more importantly, they care about the judge that sentencing their brother or their father or someone away for years.
Millennials make up about 22% of the U.S. population, and sometime between now and 2020, they will surpass baby boomers as America's largest living population. We'll come back and have more conversation with Sam Novy, the co-founder of Baltimore Votes, Catalina Bird, a Baltimore-based media consultant and political strategist, and Nike Robinson. She's the founder of Black Girls Vote. When we do come back, we're going to speak with Kyle Learman. He's the CEO of When We All Vote, the nonpartisan Get Out the Vote organization founded by Michelle Obama. Our phone number here on Midday, 410-662-8780. We have a number of folks waiting to get on the air. We will try to get to as many of you as we can. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You can drop us a tweet, and you can also catch us on Facebook Live. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR, where you're listening to Midday.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on our program, Congressman Andy Harris will be here for another in our series of conversations with the candidates. He is a Republican. He's running for a fifth term representing Maryland's first district in the United States Congress. His opponent is Democrat Jesse Colvin. If you're just joining us today, we're talking about mobilizing voters and how to increase voting across the board in this important midterm election. Joining me now on the line from Los Angeles is Kyle Learman. He's the CEO of When We All Vote, a nonpartisan organization created by former First Lady Michelle Obama. Kyle Learman, welcome to Midday.
Tom, thanks so much for having me on.
So talk about generally what your efforts include nationwide and what you've done so far and what you'll be doing up until Election Day.
Absolutely. So as you said, When We All Vote was launched by Michelle Obama along with some fellow co-chairs like Tom Hanks and Janelle Monáe and Lin-Manuel Miranda back in July. And the mission of When We All Vote is really to change the culture around voting in our country and significantly increase voter registration and participation. And so over the course of the last couple months, we were really focused on voter registration. We partnered actually with Baltimore Votes on an event in Baltimore, which was wonderful. And we had over 2,500 voter registration events around the country during our week of action back in September. And today and tomorrow, we're actually completely shifting over to get out the vote and to making sure that folks are getting ready to vote across the country. And the way that we're doing that is really threefold. One, we have our new website up that has all the information folks are going to need to get ready to vote. They can find their polling place. They can find when they can vote. They can better understand the different options they have, whether it's voting early or voting absentee. Two, we're doing a huge push to make sure that folks not only vote, but that they get their friends and family to go vote as well and make sure that they are ready and have the information. So actually, next week, we're launching a program called Voting Squads. We're actually asking folks to create their voting squads and spread the word. And so there's information on our website on that as well. And then we're partnering with local organizations and trying to elevate the work that they're doing. Baltimore Votes is doing great work around the voting, the poll parties in Baltimore and across Maryland. And so we're sending them some of our volunteers and folks that have signed up to make sure that they're partnering and making sure that folks understand that voting can be fun and helping get out the vote as well. And so we're really trying to provide both the motivation and the information that people need.
A number of folks that I talk to who are doing the kind of work you're doing locally and nationally, for that matter, always are quick to describe their organizations as nonpartisan. If it's true that the main block of people who aren't voting are young people, are people of color, and it's also true that those particular demographics tend to vote largely Democratic, is it really the case that When We All Vote, founded by the former First Lady Michelle Obama, who's obviously not a Republican, is it true that really this is a nonpartisan effort? Is this kind of a sneaky way of helping Democrats?
No, I mean, Tom, not at all. And if you've heard any of the former First Lady's remarks at her events across the country, she consistently says, no matter what party you're in, no matter what your views are, we want you to vote. And we also want those folks to get their friends and family to vote as well. And, you know, we sort of started this campaign from the premise of when we all vote, we all do better. And that actually means everybody. And When We All Vote is a campaign that is hit across all cross sections of types of voters. We're going across all 50 states. And so we are trying really hard to reach everyone and making sure that we're doing that. So while there are certainly communities that have been more historically underrepresented in voting, and we want to make sure that we get those communities the information that they need to get out and vote, we're really just providing information and talking about voting important as itself. We think that voting is bigger than any one candidate or one issue. And it's frankly above partisanship in politics.
And I know that former President Barack Obama and Eric Holder and a couple of others are working on the policy side of voting and voting regulations, voter IDs, the voter purging of voter rolls, that kind of thing. Is When We All Vote, also getting involved in the public policy aspects of the endeavor itself, the exercise of voting?
So we are very distinctly separate from those organizations and those efforts, as you probably, as you sort of mentioned there, they're on the more sort of partisan angle of things. We are not at this point. At this point, we're really just focused on voter registration and participation and making sure that we're getting people the information that they need and making sure that folks are motivated to actually get out and vote and get their friends and family to vote. But this is an effort that we are building for the long term, and that's certainly something we're going to look at after we get through this midterm cycle.
Kyle Learman is the CEO of When We All Vote. That is a nonpartisan organization created by the former First Lady, Michelle Obama. Kyle Learman, thanks so much for your time, and bravo for your efforts. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Now we're going to turn back to our panel here in Studio A, political strategist Catalina Byrd, Nike Robinson. She's the founder of Black Girls Vote, and Sam Novy, the co-founder of Baltimore Votes. If you'd like to join our conversation, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, our Twitter handle @MiddayWYPR, and we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Folks, let's go to the phones to George in Harford County. George, I understand you are an elections judge in Harford County. Welcome to Midday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So what's on your mind, sir?
Okay. Yeah, I'm a chief election judge in Harford County. I just want the voters to know that if you show up at the polling place, we will make sure you have a way to cast your ballot. If you're out of your precinct on election day, you can still cast a provisional ballot. That ballot will go up to the Board of Elections. They'll determine if it's eligible to be counted, and you will be given a phone number you can call to make sure that you see what the status is of your ballot. So if you have questions about your registration after registration closes, don't let that keep you away from the polls. You'll still be able to cast a ballot. That's part of our job as election judges, enforcing the rules and making sure you get to exercise your opportunity.
That's great. Well, George, I appreciate the call and appreciate that tip for folks in Harford County, and I'm sure that's the case in every other jurisdiction as well. Let's go to John in Owings Mills. Welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling.
Hey, hi, Tom. How are you?
Good.
John Carden, former chair of the Election Law Subcommittee in the House Delegates and a candidate. And I want to say, first of all, your guests are wonderful, and I'm really excited about the work they're doing.
Amen to
I
that.
I happen to be left-handed as well.
Yay!
I'm feeling outnumbered here, Representative Carden.
a couple of points. First of all, we try, at least in the Election Law Subcommittee, have always tried to make our election process as convenient and as confident and as easy and as safe for every single eligible voter in the state of Maryland. And I think that what you guys are talking about is we need to make sure it's easy and convenient for people while not losing the confidence in the system. And that's a really great ambition to have. I will say this, that as a candidate, I am sometimes taken by, because one of your guests was talking about wanting to be welcoming to new voters, especially young people. And I see people just attack voters, election years, candidates at times, friends of candidates, and it makes it very unpleasant for some people who just want to go and vote after having already done the research themselves. And I wonder if your guest would talk a little bit about how we can be a little bit more restrained or respectful when we're out there campaigning for people.
All right. Well, John Cardin, thanks for weighing in. Sam Novy, you're going to throw a party at some 65 some polling places.
Yes.
So you're looking to bring people into the action, not to have them duck their head and sneak in, right?
Yeah. So, John, I think that's such a great point. And one thing that we've seen with the parties, we saw this with a couple of pilot parties during the primary, particularly at Bethlehem Synagogue right across the street from Tom's house, I believe. But
it was quite a party. Food trucks and balloons and a band, or at least a DJ and stuff. And it looked like things were happening. Now, I voted at 7:30 in the morning. It wasn't happening then, but it was happening afternoon.
So, John, we'll try to maybe do a breakfast party next time. But but I will say that one dynamic, and I've seen a lot of polling places from the campaign side of things and from the party of the poll side of things, and one thing we saw with the party of the polls is that it changed the dynamic between the campaign volunteers who were out there and the voters. So in addition to the voters dancing and getting food, also the campaign workers were having a ball out there. And instead of it being quiet and sort of voters coming up and the campaign workers pouncing on them, there was much more, people were hanging out after they voted. It was a much better vibe. So
a social environment.
Yeah.
And, I think that what he was really asking is we have to have a return to civility on both sides. I've watched continuously how nasty, and I feel like it started in 08 with the election of President Obama, and we saw the emergence of the Tea Party. And then from 2010 to now, the Democrats have never had a majority and have sucked at midterms for all intents and purposes. But we have allowed the polarization to justify our lack of civility and dehumanizing each other for different political ideologies.
And the lack of civility leads directly to a lack of engagement.
Right.
People just say,
and it's really the same on both sides. When we're talking about what's the barrier to mobilization, it's all the things that those of us on the political side do that feeds apathy. It's not a lack of registration. We're feeding the apathy, and that's what makes mobilization so difficult, because we're not addressing the root issues. Just like we say, we were talking about crime. We're not talking about systemic issue. Energy begets energy. Mm-hmm. And if we keep justifying a lack of civility and behaving like the other side does, it's against the core principles we all learned in kindergarten at home first. Two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. And we've got to have a shift in this energy from both sides so that we can stop feeding the apathy and begin to heal it. And then Sam's parties don't have to be like so unique, because it comes back to being welcoming and being a community thing and something people are proud to do.
Yeah, a bunch of events coming up on Saturday the 27th. There's an early voting pumpkin party at Triangle Park on Pennsylvania Avenue. That's the Social Action Task Force and No Boundaries Coalition. And then on Election Day, there's a boundary barbecue at Utah Marshburn School. That's on Utah Place in Bolton Hill. Memorial Church is going to be hosting a barbecue outside the school. So there are these events going on all over the place. Nike, it's interesting. We know that there are certain Republican legislatures around the country who are concerned about voter fraud. And in the name of voter fraud, they're doing some things to restrict voting, tightening ID requirements, lowering the hours or the number of polling places that are accessible. That's not an issue here in Maryland. But I was interested to hear an op-ed in the Washington Post by a Democrat, a guy who served on the Montgomery County Council in the 90s up through just a few years ago, a guy named Phil Andrews, who says we shouldn't have early voting. He said early voting's a bad idea because stuff can happen in that last 8 days in the election. I mean, the early voting here in Maryland goes from the 25th to the 1st of November, and of course, Election Day is the 6th. So there's that 5-day interregnum in which you know, things could happen. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's ludicrous. You know, study shows that early voting, it increases voter turnout. And that's why we're super committed to getting folks out during early voting, because with life, life happens. And especially I'm speaking for Black women, anything can happen. You have childcare, you have may have to work over, you may not have you may have to take care of a sick parent. Anything could happen during that emergency that may change your plan, so you may not be able to get out to vote on election day. So the convenience of early voting is so important. And as one of your callers said, in Harford County, they are inviting, you know, fill out a provisional ballot. But in Maryland, what's super important is that during early voting, you can register and you can vote during the same day. And that doesn't happen all over the country. And even now, on the ballot, I think it's question two, is saying that we want the same provision during election day. For those who are not registered to vote on election day, you can get registered and vote during the same day.
And that is a referendum on this ballot this time.
And that is so important. And so we want folks to know that voting is about making things convenient, because people are dealing with real life issues every single day. And so we need early voting. It's super important that we have it. And that's why we're committed to making sure that it stays. But then also question two, making sure that it passes, because we want folks to make sure they have accessibility to voting, because voter suppression is no longer. We want folks voting.
Nike Robinson is the founder of Black Girls Vote. Sam Novy's here as well. He's a co-founder along with Ian Logan of Baltimore Votes. And Catalina Byrd is a media consultant and political strategist who's been working in jails in recent weeks with a number of other organizations. Sam Novy, the New York Times had a piece a few weeks ago called The Myth of the Lazy Voter, meaning this notion that, you know, women or young people of color are not showing up to the polls because they're apathetic and they're lazy and they're not involved. That's completely ridiculous. And Nike hit on some of the reasons. Childcare, getting off of work. We vote in the middle of the work week on Tuesdays. There's plenty of other countries in the Western democracies who vote on the weekends when people aren't at work. It's also interesting that the number of people registering in Maryland is up, mm-hmm. and many more people are now registering as independents. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means? Do you think that there is a disillusionment or a dissatisfaction with the established political parties, Democrats and Republicans?
You know, something that we talk a lot about when we invite people to participate in elections, try to be as welcoming as possible, is the idea that, you know, there's a couple different contests, a couple different competitions that are happening on election day, right? So one competition is between the politicians, right? One politician is going to win, another politician is going to lose. Some contests are going to be between parties. The Democrats are going to win, or the Republicans are going to win, or Green or Libertarians are going to win or lose. And what we see is that, because the voting records are public, the list of all the registered voters in which elections they voted in are public, and candidates use that list to decide, and politicians, they use that list to decide who's going to matter, who they're going to listen to. The actual contest is between communities, right? Is your community going to get listened to or not? And that's why what Nike's doing, what Catalina's doing is so important around making sure that communities that have been not recognized or left out are included in the future. So I think when people are showing up and registering independent or showing up in any way, they're showing up with a demand to be listened to and be heard, rather than trying to come out for a particular party or a particular candidate.
The Brennan Center estimates that as many as 11% of eligible voters don't have and can't get the documents required by a lot of these voter ID laws. One of the things that people have noted is that young people now are not driving as much as young people used to drive. So a lot fewer people have driver's license. And speaking of young people, here's an ad that was put together by an outfit called Nail Communications. This is a pro bono thing that appeared online about the fact that younger people, certainly in 2016, did not show up in nearly the numbers that older people did.
Dear young people,
don't vote.
Don't vote.
Everything's fine the way it is.
Trump, that was us.
He's our guy.
Tax cuts for the rich? Hell yeah, I'm rich as f***.
Climate change? That's a you problem. I'll be dead soon.
Sure, school shootings are sad.
But I haven't been in a school for 50 years.
I can't keep track of which lives matter.
Sure you don't like it.
So, you'll like some meme on Instagram.
If the weather is nice, maybe you could go to one of those little marches.
You might even share this video on Facebook.
But you won't vote.
You young people never do.
But I do. I do.
I do.
Midterms, primaries.
Every single election.
We'll be there, but you won't.
Because we're a generation of doers.
Not whiners.
And we're doing great.
Catbird. Interesting little bit of video there. You are volunteering with a group called Democrats for Hogan, so you're supporting Governor Hogan in the governor's race, for example, who's obviously a Republican. Do you think that people are more energized in this midterm, at this moment in 2018, than they were even in 2016? Forget the last midterm election we had, but do you think that there is a higher level of energy? Because both Republicans and Democrats have said that they think there is.
Okay, so there's the people who have to say that they think there is to keep their jobs, and then there's reality. We've been living in the hysteria of 2016 since Trump, but Trump's own election proved that none of the hysteria equated to turnout when you looked at the numbers that elected this president. And so that conversion rate just isn't real, unfortunately. There's a difference between emotion and showing up. But that ad showed like the generational indifference that's inside of both parties as well, how younger people are shunned for what they don't know or don't do or don't care about based on what someone else thinks that they should. I actually ran field for Doug Gansler in the primary of 2014, and that's who I believed would have been the Democrats' best chance of keeping the state house. I don't belong to either party. I work for the people I believe in. And so as soon as Doug lost to Anthony Brown, I went to Hogan. But I also worked in the Ehrlich administration. We got early voting for Maryland, right? It was a petition. We were out there, and he lost re-election, but we got it on the ballot in 2006. And that's what made the difference. And I think that it's sad that Democrat from Montgomery County thinks that early voting is ludicrous. Creating more pathways for people's voice to be heard, regardless of political party, is what this is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about policy and people. It's not supposed to be about parties and partisanship. And that's unfortunately what it's been allowed to become.
Yeah, and Nike Robinson, a lot of it has to do perhaps with, well, I'll make that point in a second. You had a point.
Want to add to Kat's point, and that's what we try to focus on with Black Girls Vote. You know, Kat is Black Girls Vote. It's not about any particular party. It's about mobilizing a group of voters and saying, hey, it's not about being Republican, Democrat, or Green Party. It's about our voting bloc and policy. What policies are going to improve the quality of life, particularly for Black women? And so as Kat talks about, you know, folks are out there every single day trying to change the narrative, but we need to make sure that we're focused on getting our voters out and then forget about the party. Right? Forget about the party and let's focus on the issues. And then that will change the narrative. And that's why we see more and more people registering as independents, because we want our politicians to work for our vote. And we want to be the swing voters, because as Democrats, we find mainly Black women that our votes are taken for granted. And so what I want with Black Girls Vote and Black women to understand that, no, you have to work for our vote and you have to commit specifically for policies, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. We need the policies that will improve our lives. So it's super important.
94% of Black women voted for Hillary Clinton.
98 for Doug Jones.
Ludicrous. Jones beat Roy Moore virtually on the strength of the Black
on the Black
woman
vote. And so we believe in mutually beneficial relationships, mm-hmm. as everyone should. Yeah. And so we have to start having a different conversation and being comfortable with the conversation, because we're out every single day. We don't have the economic fortitude to give thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to political candidates, but we do have that vote. And there is value in our vote. And so when Black people, particularly Black women, come together and demand better resources for our schools, you know, more funding for our businesses. You know, Black women are the leading demographic in starting businesses, but 90% of them are solopreneurships, right? So we need those grants. We need that funding. We need, you know, heat in the schools. That's a big issue. But more importantly, who's monitoring the funding and where that funding is going? So it's all about accountability. And so we want to make sure with Black Girls Vote, we are holding our elected officials accountable for the policies they're committing to us.
Yeah, and Sam Novy, we got to end our segment here. So let me give you a quick last word. Seems to me that there's an issue of really turning around a trend of cynicism. I mean, I think some of the young people now whose parents came up in the 80s when they were hearing about how government was a terrible thing, and, you know, the cynicism and the lack of engagement began a long time ago. If you grew up in a household where you went to church or you went to synagogue or you worshiped somewhere every week and then you voted all the time, you know, my mom and dad never missed an election, and I've never missed an election, and our daughter has never missed an election. I mean, it becomes a traditional thing within families and within communities.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the most important thing to leave folks with is that, you know, we need to remake our democracy. We need to make the promise of America real in every single generation, like it's, you know, the first battle of the Revolutionary War. We need to make it work for us and our communities in our time. You know, the ghost of George Washington or Martin Luther King or Susan B. Anthony, they're not going to make our democracy work for us. We need to make it work for ourselves. And so that's why it's so exciting that, you know, Catalina is doing all the work she's doing, that Nike's doing the work she's doing. And that's why I'm so excited about the 100 parties of the polls, because all people are stepping up in neighborhoods across Baltimore.
All right. Well, look, go get them, everybody. Go get them.
We're
and,
so excited.
You know, God bless. I really appreciate everybody coming in and appreciate all the work you're doing. Thanks so much. Nike Robinson is the founder of Black Girls Vote. Sam Novy is a co-founder along with Ian Logan of Baltimore Votes. And Catalina Bird is a media consultant and political strategist. By the way, the League of Women Voters has a website called vote411.org. If you need information about your precinct or about absentee ballots, you can find that information there. Again, the address vote411.org. And remember, if you are not yet registered to vote in Maryland, if you vote early, you can register and vote on the same day. Early voting starts a week from tomorrow. In the 2016 election, more than 74 million people did not vote. So please be sure you are not one of them this time around. We've got links to more information about how to register and all that stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. Coming up, a theater review with J. Wynn Russick. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.